My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Preseason week number 3. I know everybody's excited for it. I mean, hell, we've been talking it to death all week. Got to figure out whether or not Deshaun Watson's going to play. Do you think that the people in around the AFC North would want Deshaun Watson to play?
They probably want to see him play just so they can make fun of him.
This is your problem.
Well, we're talking about our rivals, right?
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Okay, let's go around the AFC North. Our first stop in Baltimore. Home of the Ravens and 105.7 The Fan's Bob Haney, who joins us as the Baltimore Ravens are getting ready for their preseason matchup. And I had it in front of me, and now I don't have it in front of me anymore. So now I feel like an idiot as welcoming Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan of Baltimore, as they go to Green Bay at 1 p.m. on Saturday. There it is. Thank you. I pulled it in front of me here. So for Lamar Jackson, what's the plan, Bob?
There is no plan for him Saturday against Green Bay. The plan is tomorrow, however, for him and the rest of the starters to play against the Pack in a joint practice, which John Harbaugh is very much looking forward to. Training camp wrapped up yesterday. I think they leave today for Lambeau, so they got the joint practice tomorrow. But Saturday, the only thing you'll see from the starters is them in nice, officially sanctioned NFL gear standing on the sidelines next to John Harbaugh.
It is very nice. Well built. Go ahead, Tone.
Bob, it's good that we're doing this because we've had some people complain about having only 5 open practices. The Browns start at the Greenbrier, which closed to the public, and obviously our joint practices were closed as well. So the accessibility kind of at an all-time low. How is it there in Baltimore when it comes to the fans, their ability to watch?
Training camp access is very much open to the fans. It stopped last week, but they do. The Ravens send out an email, and fans get the time to prepare for making the family trip. Bus loads of kids come in from various rec centers and schools throughout the Baltimore metropolitan area. So training camp is very fan-friendly.
Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Does he treat this, because it's a joint practice, I guess he can't treat this as a regular season tune-up. Does Jim Harbaugh believe in that? Because that's kind of what the Browns are doing right now with the Seahawks game coming up on Saturday night.
Yeah, Harbaugh very much looks at this as a de facto regular season game. Of course, they're not going to be trying to knock Jordan Love out of the game, and we're assuming that Green Bay is not going to do the same with Lamar. But this is the closest his starters are going to get to real football, air quotes, until they face Kansas City on September 5th. They still have questions to answer on the offensive line, in particular at right tackle. Who's the third running back going to be behind Derrick Henry and Justice Hill? I mean, can Ajabo and Owe take the next step as a pass rusher? So there's still some questions that need to be answered. How much of them get answered tomorrow against the Packers? That one I don't know.
Lamar was on with Lima's friend Adam Schein on SiriusXM, said he really didn't care about the criticism of the AFC Championship game. Do you think he cares about the criticism levied at him by fans and by media?
I think deep down inside he does, because he wants a Super Bowl. And I think the narrative around here, and I guess maybe nationally as well, is his playoff performances pale in comparison to his regular season performances, which have culminated in two Most Valuable Player awards. He's 2-4 in the playoffs, and three of those four losses are at home. And last year in the AFC Championship game, he did not play well. I mean, the Ravens scored a touchdown on their first drive and didn't score again for the rest of the game, a touchdown anyway. And if you would have said to me that Friday, I know for a fact Kansas City is only going to score 17 points and none in the second half, I would have told you the Ravens would have won by 14 points. So Lamar definitely hears the noise, and he's consumed with winning a Super Bowl, and in particular, I'm assuming, would like to play well in their quest to do so.
Do you feel like the hunger will be there for the regular season when all he keeps hearing about is the postseason?
Yeah, I think so. Starting Thursday night, September 5th against Kansas City on national TV with the Chiefs, who knocked them out of the playoffs. Patrick Mahomes is the guy that every quarterback in football is chasing in regards to that individual greatness. I think Lamar and the Ravens as a team are going to be extremely fired up for that one. Look, they've got Kansas City, Dallas, and Buffalo in three of their first four games, so I think the hunger will be there, and then you get Cincinnati right after that, so I think they'll be ready to rock and roll, you know, health permitting, when the season begins in a couple of weeks.
Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, as the Ravens get set to take on Green Bay in Green Bay on Saturday after joint practices this week. We go to Cincinnati and Mo Egger. As Cincinnati, from ESPN 1530 down in Cincinnati, as the Bengals get ready to take on the Colts on Friday, they are also in joint practices. Mo, how do you feel about those joint practices with the Indianapolis Colts?
Well, they've had two. They had one against the Bears last week, which by every account did not go great. And they had one with the Colts yesterday, which the Bengals defense walked away from that feeling pretty good about itself, because they dominated the Indianapolis Colts, but most important, Joe Burrow looked pretty good, which has obviously been the main focus of camp. These joint practices have kind of taken over the preseason in terms of competitiveness, so the Bengals and Colts will play tomorrow. Cincinnati won't play many of its starters, so the preseason for most of the players who matter is now effectively over.
It has been urged on Sports Illustrated for the Browns to trade for Ja'Marr Chase, even though the two teams have never consummated a trade in the history of their allegiances in the same division or in the NFL together at all. What are the odds that Ja'Marr Chase were to actually get traded from the Cincinnati Bengals? Slim or none?
There's a better chance of Jennifer Aniston walking through my front door right now, which would be awesome.
You know, Lyman and I actually have a friend that lived in the same building as Jennifer Aniston, and she actually did walk through his door before.
Well, she doesn't live in my neighborhood. She doesn't live in my building. She doesn't live in our state. She doesn't live in my city. So it may happen. Theoretically, I guess I can't totally rule it out, but there's a better chance of that happening than, number one, the Bengals trading Ja'Marr Chase. That ain't going to happen. But if they were, I can't even put into proper context how unlikely it is that the Bengals would trade Ja'Marr Chase with 2 years left on his contract to any of the three teams that they would play twice each year over the next 2 years, whether it's Cleveland, Pittsburgh, or Baltimore. Ja'Marr Chase isn't going anywhere. Now, it's totally fair to wonder, is he going to be on the field for the first game of the season? Completely fair to wonder if he's going to be on the field for the second game of the season when the Bengals go to Kansas City. But if there's one thing we know about the Bengals, it's you cannot put a gun to Mike Brown's head and force him to do something he doesn't want to do. There have been a lot of players who have demanded trades. Not that Ja'Marr is doing that. The Bengals go, that's cool, we're not going to trade you. Had two players this offseason ask for trades. Guess what? Both those players will be on the Bengals in 2024. So if you saw that, and if you're a Browns fan, I hate to throw cold water over all your hopes, Ja'Marr Chase ain't coming to Cleveland unless it's with the Bengals later on this season.
Like, Mo, maybe you'd want to use this for your show. I'm not sure you necessarily care about what people in Cleveland think.
Wow, he's programming your show for you, Mo.
Well, here's why, Mo. I've heard the show. It doesn't need much help. But in this case, our fans have said consistently that we can perform miracles around the salary cap because our owner is willing to spend. And we can get down to the nitty-gritty about how the escrow works, but we just can keep paying out because Haslam's are liquid. They have the cash. What do your fans say about your owner's situation?
You know, I think with the Bengals, they always fight that narrative based on how the team performed back in the 90s and early 2000s, which was a direct reflection of their frugality. I think most people who have really paid attention have seen that the Bengals have, over the last 10 to 15 years, always paid their top-end guys. Heck, Joe Burrow is the highest-paid player in the sport right now. And if you go back over the last 15 years, whether it's Carson Palmer or A.J. Green or Geno Atkins, Chad Johnson or Andrew Whitworth twice, Willie Anderson, their absolute best players have always gotten second and third contracts. Ja'Marr Chase, Mike Brown, what was interesting about his comments when training camp started is Mike Brown said, we're going to bend over backwards to pay Ja'Marr Chase. He never says stuff like that. And so I think you can take that to the bank. The issue here is the amount of time left on his deal, right? He has 2 years remaining. And so from a Cincinnati perspective, they look at it and go, what's the rush? And from Ja'Marr Chase's perspective, he goes, I want my guaranteed money now. I think most fans see both sides of it. I think where things will change, and I've asked this all summer long, it's one thing to miss practice. It's something else to miss games. Do we believe that Ja'Marr will miss games? And again, games plural is what matters because they play New England week one. They can win with any one of us playing wide receiver that game. They go to Kansas City week two. What has turned into one of the best rivalries in the sport? If Jamar's not on the field against KC, I think public opinion is going to shift heavily in favor of a team that has the player under contract for two more years.
Real quick, who was the better talk show host, Phil Donahue or Jerry Springer?
You know, Phil Donahue, I can still hear him screaming, is the caller there? Phil. Plus, I like Marlo Thomas.
Wow, Phil! You're taking Phil Donahue.
Yeah, I think I'm taking Phil.
See, I thought...
Ohio's own Phil Donahue.
See, I thought I... Wait a minute, whoa, who's Ohio's own Phil Donahue?
So, the Donahue show started in Dayton, Ohio. So, there you go.
See... I thought I would lead you if I was going to say Cincinnati's own Jerry Springer, Cleveland's own Phil Donahue, but you still picked Donahue.
Yeah, I think I'm going Phil. Yeah, I like Jerry Springer. Not a huge fan of his talk show, I guess, but I'm going Phil. I think more groundbreaking, more pioneering, longer lasting.
Yeah,
something you could actually kind of be proud of. I'm going Phil.
Incredible. Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati as they get ready to take on the Colts on Friday. We now go to Pittsburgh. And Chris Muller, 93.7, the fan in Pittsburgh as the Steelers get ready to head to Detroit on Saturday to take on the Lions. And they have big-time offensive line problems. Right now, Nate Herbig, he's on the IR. Zach Frazier's expected to start for that football team on the offensive line. And Broderick Jones has been terrible to start off this preseason.
That sounds like an under 500 team
Muller,
to me.
Are Kenny. We at DEFCON 1 with the Steelers offensive line?
That's like 7 wins.
Good morning, guys. I'd just like to say that Mo is correct. Phil Donahue clears Jerry Springer easily.
Wow.
Phil Donahue, a real badass, actually. Tone, was that you just saying that sounds like an under 500 team to me? You guys all want it. Everyone wants it. I think half of Pittsburgh wants it. I think Pittsburgh wants to be able to stop having to hear national analysts say Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season. I'll address the Frazier thing quickly. I'm not saying I'm happy Nate Herbig is hurt. He's a solid pro and a very good interior depth guy, but Frazier has looked pretty good. He looks like, you know, Tyler Linderbaum is sort of the archetype for a guy who wrestled in high school and whatever and shows that kind of ability in space. Frazier's a little bigger than him, doesn't have as much, obviously, pedigree or college hype, but he gets out and moves. He's not Marquise Pouncey on the move, but he's a mauler. He's good with his feet. I think he's going to be a very good center for them. So that one doesn't feel like a problem. I like their two guards for right now. And the guy they drafted from South Dakota State, McCormick, looks like he's going to eventually force his way into the lineup. As far as Jones goes, now I have to take my medicine a little bit for right now. Pony got killed, and rightly so, for making Kenny Pickett out to be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, when in fact he's probably going to be a one contract and done guy in the NFL. I wanted them to take Broderick Jones badly. Now, in my defense, everyone thought Broderick Jones was an actual first-round pick. I still think he is. He's banged up. He's got an elbow injury. He's wearing a brace on his right elbow. He's not using it as an excuse, but it obviously is bothering him. And the real problem here is, for as much as they have seemingly laser-focused their drafting the last 2 years under Omar Khan, they continue to insist on playing Broderick Jones on the wrong side because they're accommodating Dan Moore Jr., who can't even play. They all acknowledge it. They're like, yeah, he's a mediocre left tackle. That's why we've drafted two tackles in the first round the last 2 years. But we're gonna let the other guy in the first round pick play off position so Dan Moore can just sit there at left tackle because he's physically incapable of playing right tackle. It's making me insane, and it's a big part of their problem.
I mean, you can't just move offensive linemen around.
But here's my point. I would have rather seen them just say, Broderick, we drafted you. You are now the starting left tackle. We are going to, like, the minute we put you in the lineup, we're going to live with it. They should have kept Chukwuma Okorafor at right tackle last year and mm-hmm. just let Jones play left.
Mm-hmm.
But Chukes made the cardinal sin of mouthing off, apparently, to Mike Tomlin, and that made Mike very angry. Here's the thing about Dan Moore. He has worked hard to get to the point where he is maybe at times serviceable, and I just think that coaching staff loves the fact that he's battled. It's like the way you would reward a kid in high school for working harder than his teammates. Jones works hard. Guys like him. But they're giving Dan Moore all this leeway that he doesn't deserve, that his pedigree doesn't warrant. And it is frustrating me a lot because it's also making my opinion look bad here. That's the real problem.
Question for your listeners. Are the Steelers playing to actually win, or are they playing for the legacy of Mike Tomlin? You have to ask them that today.
I need to ask them that. Yeah. They would all say they're playing for the legacy of Mike Tomlin. Okay. Most of them would probably.
Then we have a serious problem. We have a serious problem on the banks of the Monongahela.
All right, since, Chris, you are an honest purveyor of Pittsburgh sports, unlike your partner, your perfect person to ask. Compare.
Hold on, Toad. Hold on. It's on the banks of the Allegheny / the Ohio. It ain't on the banks of the Monongahela.
You think I give a bleep? It's Pittsburgh. I don't care. Go ahead, Tone.
At least our rivers don't catch fire.
All right, we're done.
No.
That's it. I was gonna ask. So we'll just make it up on the fly.
I was gonna rip. I'm sorry.
I was gonna ask how his two quarterbacks look compared to how Kenny Pickett had looked in prior training camps and preseason. Because right now their fans are panicking. They're absolutely panicking.
No, their hands are bigger.
They should panic. Yep. I told you, I got the head coach of Axel's football team, a Steelers fan. And every now and then he'll get in the group text and he'll chime in with something. And the only thing I had to say, it happened last week, and I go, yeah, I know another team that had a quarterback competition every year for their starting quarterback for a very long time. And it worked out real well for them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Been there. Mitch, please, 940. Speaking of Mitch, you got both your hats again?
I have the Cleveland hat. The other one is in my locker.
You got to pick.
I did.
No, you're going to have to pick what team you're going to be a fan of. This is I get critical of boomers for going after millennials. I get critical of Gen X going after millennials, and I understand that I'm going to be critical of myself going after. I don't know what your generation. Are you Gen Z?
Sure.
Okay. Well, that was a hell of an answer you just gave me there. I know that I'm going to end up ripping at generations after me. It's the way of the natural order of things. That's how it goes. But there cannot be a world where 20-something-year-old people from Northeast Ohio can consider themselves fans of multiple teams. You got to grow up. You got to be an adult and pick one. You're an American citizen. You're a taxpayer. You're from this area. If you want to be a Yankee fan, you go be a Yankee fan. You want to be a Guardians fan, you be a Guardians fan. You can't.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Pick both, Mitch.
I don't need to be a full-blooded Yankee fan because I grew up a full-blooded Indians and Guardians fan.
Then why do you have Yankees crap?
Because I just happened to have it on the side, and for a number of years...
On the
Yankees
side?
Were, yes.
On the side.
When the Yankees were good, I mean, they're still good, but when the Yankees were good, at the time when the Indians were not good, it was easier to kind of gravitate towards that, but once the Indians are...
When were the Indians not good?
What did you do...
Like, 1 year?
What did you do when they played each other in 2022 in the playoffs?
I rooted for the Guardians. Every time
how could you how could you
so
say
didn't
that?
You grow to hate them because
no.
They celebrated, they made
you know
fun of, they mocked, they ridiculed their fan base, Josh Naylor.
You know what it is?
You don't you is? Hate them now?
No, you know what it is? The first time I ever saw these two teams play in the playoffs that in my consciousness, it was 2007, the Indians won in that division series over them, went to the ALCS, and I thought to myself, okay, we took them down. If they had maybe lost in that series, maybe it would have been a little different, but I don't see it as like these hated rivals like I do something like Yankees and Red Sox or even Cleveland and somebody in their own division.
How
I just don't
you,
see it.
You're 26 years old.
Yes.
You've been cognizant of sports.
Since like 2005,
2006.
2005, 2006. Sure.
All right. That 2006, they were 78 and 84.
Yep. Not good.
They had two 69 win seasons or they had a 65-69 win season. You've had like three seasons they've
no,
been
no.
not
How
very
after
good.
2007, 2008 wasn't good. 2009 wasn't good. 10, 11, 12.
2008, 2009. 2008, they were 80. I brought up, I said 69, 65 and 69 win season. 2009 and 2010, they weren't that good. They were 81 and 81 in 2008. Don't
didn't
give me
make
that.
The playoffs did not win the World Series. Did not go to the World Series.
So wait a minute. So they have to go to the World Series for you to be a fan. Do you understand how insane
that. I didn't
you
say that.
Sound?
You don't have to put those words in my mouth. I didn't say that.
Well, that's what you just said. They didn't go to the playoffs. They didn't go to the World Series.
I just stated a fact.
If your standard is the World Series, just go be a Yankee fan and move on with it. You want to be a Yankee fan, just be a Yankee fan, Mitch. Does he or does he not sound like a Yankee fan?
I'm not a Yankees fan.
Well, we can figure this out right now. Who's your favorite baseball player ever?
Ever? It's got to be between Jose Ramirez and Mike Trout.
So you don't even have a Yankee guy up there. God.
Well, I mean, Jeter was my guy when I was first getting into baseball when he was playing.
So it's Jeter. Jeter is the guy that you adored. Okay.
Yeah,
who has a better stadium? Which stadium do you...
I like Yankee Stadium, but I honestly would say...
All right, who's the better uniforms?
I mean, one stayed the same uniform
for 100
fan. Years.
I mean, I'm just not. Admit it. You I'm are not. A Yankees fan.
Buddy, if you're a Yankee fan, it's okay. Well, it's not okay, but it's okay. Like we will rip you, and if we win, like if we were
just
to play the Yankees,
don't
be a man.
You're either a Yankees fan or a fake Yankees fan, and I'm not sure which one's worse.
Exactly,
I'm fine with being a fake Yankees fan. At least I'm honest about it.
I'm not. You're not. I'm not trying to recruit.
Horrible.
You're actually you're lying to yourself, and you're lying to everybody else.
Here's the thing, though, Mitch. When these teams play in the playoffs, like last night felt like a playoff game, and when you see that kind of emotion. One team wins, one team loses. One team celebrates, the other team is really upset, as are their fans.
One team goes, yay, the other team goes, boo.
Who did you associate more with yesterday? Were you wallowing in the negativity like Kenny? You just posted the front page of the New York Post,
yep.
The front page of the New York Daily News.
Yep.
Okay, Newsday
thanks
as well.
Thanks to John Fanta.
Yeah, you saw that. All they're talking about is pain. What a terrible loss. All
good
their
for them.
Relievers were used.
Good for them.
Nine different pitchers total in that game. The longest game of the season. They blow it in the 12th inning. The Guardians are celebrating. Either you associate with the team that's wallowing in their pity and booing, or you associate with the team that is cheering and jubilation and an incredible clubhouse. Who do you align with? It's an easy question.
Guardians, 100%.
They can't be 100%.
Then you got to burn your Yankee
then
stuff.
Get rid of the Yankee.
When the two teams are not playing each other,
don't
you can have
it.
The separate
then you're
fan.
Not 100%.
When they're playing each other, it's Guardians, 100%, Cleveland always.
Then. No, you're not 100%.
You sound like my mom, who's
so
not a real
you,
sports fan.
If we end up beating them or vice
and
versa.
Now I'm going to have to have you in a drawer in my office.
And if all the Yankees players are going after the Guardians and the Guardians fans, and it gets like visceral like Red Sox Yankees, you can't just casually walk away from that series and go, well, it was a win-win for me.
It would take a lot for me to like have to be like, all right, forget these guys. I'm going away from them. It would take a lot. It would.
I wish you could see Owen's face.
I'm disgusted.
I wish the cameras could pick up Owen's face. He is.
Well, it doesn't make sense because, like, in the 90s, I'll never forget.
I'm disgusted that we're still doing this conversation and letting him try to make a case that, no, I'm not. No, you're not 100% in.
There are more teams that I hate. More so than the Yankees.
I will never forget because real rivalries
right,
engender. Real rivalries engender absolute hatred. Okay? It brings out the worst in us. And when I go back to Joe Torre getting asked a question by Mike Trevisano at a press conference, it stuck with me forever, and I hated Joe Torre after it. There are winners and losers in this. Say it was Boston Red Sox and the Yankees, and it's Don Zimmer and Pedro, and they're getting into it. The old man, you know, basically falls to the ground, and it starts this war between the two sides, and it just goes on forever. It had been going on before, but it got reignited. Eventually, you have to pick a side, and you don't have to think about it. It just happens.
Patrick and Hudson, congratulations on all your success. You're next up on the Fan.
What's going on? Mitch, I got a real bone to pick with this whole issue, man. You said a comment earlier that when the Guardians just really weren't that good, it was easier to gravitate towards the Yankees. That's called being a fair-weather fan there, bro.
Yeah.
You don't just get to go pick and choose your team
all right.
when your one team's not good. And that,
I was 12
and
years old.
Doesn't matter, Mitch. That's the whole point of it. Patrick, were you? Listen yesterday? What was it? What time did we talk about it? 8:20? Was it 8:20 when I was talking about the 12-year-olds on our football team?
It's all been a days for me.
Yeah, I did not listen. No.
Okay, so yesterday I had a bunch of. I brought up for practice. I coached defensive line. Right, they're a bunch of kids, and I thought Lima thought there'd be a bunch of Steelers fans because we lived in Streetsboro. We live in Streetsboro. It wasn't that way. I got Bengals fans, there's Raiders fans, there's Vikings fans. We're only two Browns fans, right? And in my head, I'm going, yeah, wait till you get a taste of the Muni lot or wait till you get the taste of a tailgate. You'll all be Browns fans. This is a sports rumspringa. You can't just sit there and tease yourself with other teams by the time you're 26 years old. Stand for something, for the love of God.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know what, man? When I was 12 years old, I rooted for my Brownies all day. And I saw the worst of the worst with my Browns. So, and I always said, dude, like, I'm a Browns fan, so that when the Browns are good, guess what? I stuck with the team. That's called being a fan of the team.
Yes.
You don't root for Michigan because OSU's having a couple down years, dude. That's called being a fan of the team.
That's very much different than this Guardians-Yankees thing. Guardians and Yankees are not one of the most traditional rivalries in sports. Yankees-Red Sox is. I dislike the Red Sox. I despise the Astros. I hate those two teams more than I would hate the Yankees. And the Yankees have beaten us twice in the playoffs in my lifetime.
You're wrong.
I don't think I am.
Oh, yes, he is. Yes, you are. I mean, honestly, you're not.
I think it's a generational thing. It's the same reason that he had to buy the Pirates hat to go to the game to blend in.
That's also because I just wanted the Pirates hat. I'm fine with the Pirates.
I can't do this. I cannot do this for very much longer. I cannot live in a society where we're going to pick and choose who. I mean,
we're falling down.
There's always teams. Yes, there's always teams. All I wanted was some breakfast. That's all I wanted. I can't live in a society. I'm serious about this, guys. Like, you got to stay. If you can't stand for a sports team, how am I supposed to trust you with anything else? It's the easiest thing to jump into. There are plenty of guys out there who are not good dads and not good husbands, and that's terrible. The easiest thing you can jump into is being a fan of a sports team. It's the easiest thing. It's the most tribal thing you can get into. And at 26 years old, Mitch, you have a very big identity crisis that you need to solve as a grown adult in this country.
I think
and if there are many more like you out there, then I feel sad for the future of what professional and amateur sports are going to be, let alone where we're going to be in the future here. It's the easiest thing in the world.
I will stick to Cleveland teams no matter what till the day I die.
No, you won't. Okay. No, you won't. No, you won't.
Yes,
then,
I will.
Then
I will.
Why are you wearing a Yankees hat?
Maybe I just wanted a hat. Maybe this is all this has been leading to, this whole conversation.
Listen, I'm a Republican every single day, but listen, that Democratic convention was fun too. And so, you know, yeah, normally I'm a Republican, but this week I feel like a Democrat.
Dylan in Cuyahoga Falls.
They didn't have a DJ.
They did have a DJ.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Hi.
So I just have a random question that this brought to my mind.
Okay.
What do you think is a bigger rivalry, Indians, Yankees, Browns, Steelers, or Browns, Ravens?
I still think it's Browns, Steelers because of the proximity.
And part of me feels like it's almost like he's rooting for the Ravens as well as the Browns.
Ooh.
Rooting for the Yankees as well as the Indians.
Dylan, I think it's still because of the history. Even like there's, I think Steelers fans and Browns, and thank you for the call. Steelers fans and Browns fans like to hate each other. I think it's part of the fun of it. I think especially in the outer ring suburbs, like you guys who, like Lima lives in Bay Village. Bay Village people don't see it. I live in Streetsboro. I see it every day. We live amongst Steelers fans. We live amongst each other. I'm from Canton. Same thing. Outer ring. That's the way it is. But no, it's Ravens, I don't see it as much. But Yankees-Indians is not a historical rivalry. That doesn't give you an excuse to just pick and choose what you want. Because, Mitch, I'm going to tell you, if we lose to the Yankees in the postseason, I mean, you might as well just call off. Because Owen was in here. We're not even going to be able to do a show because I will be dropping F-bombs in here. Guarantee it. Owen was in here for the day I popped off in 2017 with the weather person who's no longer here, where I wanted to call up the station and start screaming at him personally. That's the way it's going to be. You can't pick and choose. You choose a side. Be a man. Today is your last day of fans over at Browns camp as we have the conclusion of training camp. They're on their way to Seattle tomorrow afternoon and getting ready for the Seattle Seahawks on Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. Of course, on your flagship home for Cleveland Browns football, 92.3 The Fan. Remember, you can listen to it on the free Odyssey app within 100 miles of downtown Cleveland. If you're 101 miles, Lime and I negotiated like crazy. They still said no. Pound sand. So get in your car and drive to a parking lot within 100 miles, and then you can listen to it right there on your free Odyssey app. By the way, speaking of the Odyssey app, we got voice memos that have come in. People have been leaving voice memos. You get your free Odyssey app. It's absolutely free. Download it if you don't already have it. Your favorite 92.3 The Fan. And then when you click on 92.3 The Fan, there's a button that says Listen Live, and right next to that is a microphone. And you can click on the microphone, you can leave a voicemail, and you could maybe say something like this.
We're worrying about the tackles. We're worrying about Deshaun Watson. We're worrying about the preseason game. But I just got three words for D and Jimmy Haslam. Build that dome! Build that dome! Build that dome! Build that dome!
That was good. Who was that from?
That was Brown Spider from Cleveland.
Really?
Yeah.
So that was
all
good.
Do they all come in with the names?
Very good.
It gives you the option once you click the microphone. It'll have your name because you've registered. You have the app already, right? And it'll have where you're at. And then you can go change your name in there if you want.
Okay.
Change your location. But I would suggest, since we're doing training camp updates, and it's the last day of people at training camp, give us a report from training camp.
Oh, yeah, my gosh, Owen, great job. If you're going to training camp today, get that free Odyssey app out. Give us a report of what you see at training camp right there on the free Odyssey app.
Keep it like 30 seconds.
Oh, my gosh, that's perfect. Yeah, keep it within 30 seconds. We can't be going anywhere.
Right to the point.
I mean, Mitch did it, and he was taking like 15 minutes to describe the men's room. I who knows? I did the Port-a-Johns, I don't care.
That was a good training camp report.
That is a training camp report.
Training camp update brought to you by Genesee Brewing Company and Circa Resorts and Casino.
Zach Jackson from The Athletic said the Browns have bandied about a possible trade of Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Fans went, whoa, knock that off right now. Tone, are you willing to move on from him or Tyler Huntley?
I guess I've been confused from the moment we signed Huntley. I did not understand, A, why he would want to be here. That made no sense to me. He's somebody who started, like, real games. And when we had Jameis Winston, or was it before or after Jameis Winston?
I believe it was after.
Okay. Well, we signed him after Jameis Winston.
So what I didn't understand the unity at all on either end. I didn't understand why it made sense for the Browns. I didn't understand why it made sense to him. Because if anything, if we're trying to, you know, Dorian Thompson-Robinson was a fifth-round pick. I think he looked like a rookie that was thrust into a situation way too soon, was not ready to play that very first game.
I believe that.
But other times, it looked like, all right, maybe this guy has a chance in this league. Maybe he's a backup in this league down the road if everything works out right. And then you can allow yourself to get crazy and go, well, maybe. You just never know. You need to see more seasoning and more games. Why would you do anything that would take reps away from him or take any potential development away from him?
To try to get another pick. Huntley. To try to get another pick, because I think the way they're seeing it, this is, and guys, you're going to laugh at some of this because of how you feel about how drafting has gone over the last few years. They're not going to lose confidence in their system. So you have a guy like him, Tyler Huntley, or Dorian Thompson-Robinson. You take that pick. You swap it out, like what they did with Cade York, okay? You're trying to get a pick back. You're trying to get a guy back. So now they have Cade York. They have a guy like Dorian Thompson-Robinson or Tyler Huntley. They want to hope, even, you know what? Even Rex Sunahara, the kid from Bay Village, great kid, by the way. Great kid, rooting for him, and I'm dead serious about that. You take those three guys, you have no idea what people are going to use. Maybe you just have to move on. Maybe you just have to put them off the list and say, sorry, we can only keep 53. Or you hope someone somewhere has a need for a guy like that. You put something on tape. I got something on tape with this long snapper here. You can trade for him. Give me a seventh-round pick. I have a stockpile of seventh-round picks. I can take that. I can trade that up for a sixth-round pick. Then we could take guys and have flyers. And then we have what they call, and I hate using this word because this is going to bring up some PTSD with a lot of fans out there. You have draft capital. And because they are thinking this is their best way of thinking about the future. They know they have a lot of money committed to the quarterback. It's not that they've lost confidence in that quarterback. Maybe some in the building have. I mean, there's a lot of people in the building. You never know, right? I don't think anybody in top brass positions who make decisions have lost any confidence in the quarterback. They have that quarterback. They know that a lot of money's committed to him. They know they have a lot of money wrapped up in other players, too. So they need to start the process of turning over the roster. This is the process of turning over the roster. So they think, you could disagree with them, they're going to take that sixth or seventh round pick, trade up, make it a sixth round pick, trade up, make it back end fifth, best you can, and see what they can do to take those guys and take a fifth round pick, make them into a starter. Take a sixth round pick, put them on the practice squad, eventually make them a starter.
Okay,
make them the type of a Cam Mitchell, those type of guys.
But
that's what they want to do.
Are you talking about all these moves as the start of that domino effect is trading DTR or trading Huntley?
Trading DTR or Huntley or Cade York or any one of those guys that they could possibly make a move with coming up here over the next week. That's what their idea is. And that's not just the idea of the Browns. That's the idea of a lot of teams.
If they're willing to trade DTR already, is that an acknowledgement that it was a total reach in the fifth round where they
it's
got
an acknowledgement that he's not going to start for the Cleveland Browns anytime soon.
But so he wasn't going to. But he was he supposed to start for them anytime soon when they drafted him in the fifth round?
They might honestly, Tone. They might have taken him always with that idea. It's a quarterback. He shows upside. He did flash in workouts. There were a lot of people who were film people who loved what he did and thought that he could be a good quarterback with some time. But you have Deshaun. You have Deshaun Watson. You have Jameis Winston. You're supposed to have the starting and the backup quarterbacks suited up there. And yeah, I know they used five quarterbacks last year. You can't be too certain. They don't plan, and nobody planned on them using five quarterbacks last year. What are the odds they use five quarterbacks again this year? Very low?
Oh, God, I hope not.
What's the odds they get to the third quarterback this year?
Hopefully they don't.
Okay, the only way you would say that the odds are high is if you're a little cynical about it. Fair. But most of the time, they're not going to get to the third quarterback. So they'd be willing to move on from either or. And because Tyler Huntley's a veteran, there's an argument to keep Tyler Huntley because he's won games that he's had to win in the NFL. Dorian really, with the exception of the Steelers game, that's one, but he hasn't done it with the frequency that Tyler Huntley has had to do it. Neither's much. So they brought in Tyler Huntley. You can keep three. You could possibly keep two. I don't think you're going to be able to put DTR on a practice squad. I think he'll be gone somewhere. Someone's going to put him active. So let's keep him on our roster here. Let's see if somebody wants to make a deal. And if someone wants to make a deal and package it for a tackle, I'm listening. If someone wants to make a deal and package it for a pick, they're listening. That's the way they're going
to
do it.
Yeah, I see. And as always, our social media reactions brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. PJ Adams says, why did we sign Huntley? I don't know. But Huntley signed here because we guaranteed him nearly $1 million on his contract. I don't know how many other teams offered him a deal like that. Well, that is interesting because it is a lot of money to spend on just the thought of what you're talking about, which is ending the development of the other guy, which is what you might be doing with DTR and waving the flag on him.
Or in Tyler Huntley's case, even if you trade me, you trade my contract. So I'm getting my money no matter what. I have to sign for the highest bidder. I'm going to sign with the Cleveland Browns, even though it looks very unorthodox with everybody. I'm not getting a lot of pushback on trading DTR, though. Are there people who are absolutely 100% steadfast against trading DTR they'd be willing to make that argument?
It's just a pretty quick move. I mean, he played last year and showed signs of, you know, signs of life of being somebody who could be a backup
in
this
league.
What an
emotional game, yes. Was a big win for them. 216-474-0092. Is it a non-negotiable thing? Would you consider trading DTR? Would you consider trading Tyler Huntley? I think a lot more people would consider trading Tyler Huntley than DTR.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.